Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Perek Shnayim Ve'Esrim, chapter 22.
Halacha
Aleph.
Yep.
We'll see. Shnayim Shebo Lefanecha Ledin. Two people come before you for a judgment. Echad Rach. One is a very pleasant type of person. Ve'echad Kosha. And one is a very difficult person. He's what's the word you like to fight? Like contentious? What's the word?
Contentious.
Well, contentious.
Contentious type of person, yeah? And he like bothers the judges. A rough and tough tumble guy. Now, Ad shalo tishmas divrayim. Before you hear their words, or mishatishmas divrayim, or you've heard their words, v'yata yodea lehechana din not. You're not sure exactly which way the judgment's going. In other words, before you've heard anything, and you don't know at all what's going on, or you've heard, but you're still not sure where the direction in your own mind is the judge, what direction the judgment is going, who's going to be guilty, who's going to be innocent. Atay Roshai Lomer Lahem, you could say to them, Eini Niskok Lachem, I don't want to get involved in your case. In other words, you may withdraw from the case. If you haven't heard anything yet, or you haven't heard enough to formulate an opinion, you may at that point withdraw from the case. Now, why would you want to withdraw from the case? Because Shemi Yishayev HaKosha could be, you realize, this is Mr. Troublemaker. And if I'm going to make Mr. Troublemaker Chayev, Vinin Sarodef Achardayim, he's the kind of guy who's going to send the paparazzi after me.
Paparazzi.
He's going to chase after me. He's going to make my life miserable and so that I should change the judgment back. All right? So, in other words, you'll see where this is leading up to. But as long as you haven't come anywhere near a conclusion of what should be, you can say, I don't want to be involved in this case. That's it. I don't want the hassle. But here's the main point. But once you've heard the case, and you know which way the judgment's going to go, and let's say, for example, you know it's going. Obviously, you know it's going to go against the rough and tough tumble man. Yeah. Now you're not allowed anymore to say, "Hey, Nisukam, I don't want to be involved with you guys." Why? What's the law you'd be transgressing? Shenemer, it says, "Lo so guru mipnei ish." You should not be afraid of anybody. Okay, shouldn't be afraid. Now, why are you backing out of the case? Because you already know what's going to happen. You'd have to say that the rough man is guilty. And now you're afraid to judge that the rough man is guilty. And that would be transgressing that law. However, if they're both strong guys, then there's no problem. You're going to render the decision. Because if the other guy's in trouble, no, the other guy will help you out.
Oh.
The strong guy will say, don't worry, I'll defend you. I'll knock the other guy silly. He won't bother you. Right? So, but otherwise you can't back out. Shalot Tomar, because what might you say? You shouldn't say this. Ish Ploni Rashu, this guy's a wicked man. Shema Yargzin, he may kill my kids. He could be a mafia guy.
Set a fire.
He says, Rabbi, you know you can change the law. You like your son? You like your son. I like him too. And I'd like to see him live. So you make sure you overturn the case, yes?
That's not nice.
We have ways of making overturn the case.
Wait, doesn't he believe in God?
Yeah, anyway, so therefore, he's afraid. Shemi Yavlis, maybe he's going to burn my fields. Shemi Yakasa says he's going to chop down my trees. Okay. Now, on the other hand, you can't back out if you already know the guy who's guilty, because now you're backing out of rendering a judgment where it's at a judgment stage. If you haven't gotten to that, say, you just see the two guys coming to court, right? They say, oh, no, a second, forget it.
That he's leaving it for someone else?
So let somebody else do it.
Can you do that?
Yeah, why not? I don't want to judge a case. I don't want to even be tempted to have to be afraid. I'm still not afraid because I don't know if maybe the tough guy is innocent. Maybe he wins, and I don't have nothing to worry about. But once you know he's going to lose, then you can't back out because you are not. But if you just don't want to hear the case, you don't have the case.
Aren't you worried about having a bias as well? You're going to favor the person who's scary, so you don't want to sit on the case because you may be tempted to rule for him because you're scared of him.
Well, we're not allowed to do that already. That's a different law. Right. That's a different law.
This
is where the guy is just going to. We're saying more than that. Not only you're not allowed to make distort the judgment. You can't walk away from the judgment. That's a bigger chiddush. You say, I don't want to say anything. Well, if you already know what the law should be, you can't do that anymore. That's the chiddush. Oh, so you could say, I just don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about the case. Let a guy who's braver than me do this. Okay. What if he was appointed over the masses? In other words, he wasn't just a small local bezin, but he was a very important guy that everybody looks up to. Then he has to judge a case right away, even if you haven't heard anything. Why? Because the masses will defend him. He's got the whole country on his side. The whole city's on his side. Right? And that's what you do. So if you're a little local judge, you're afraid of the guys, I don't want to listen. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to deal with it. So what's going to eventually happen? All the low guys won't do it. It'll go up to the superior court. Goes up to the superior court. Then he will not have to worry. Base. Let's say a student of the judge is sitting in front of his Rebbe. He sees as the case is proceeding, he sees a possible meritorious argument in favor of the poor man and one that could make the rich man guilty. And he also saw that his Rebbe has made a mistake in judgment. His Rebbe has rendered in favor of the rich man mistakenly, and the student sees it should be another way. Now, what do we say now? Do we say the student should respect the Rebbe and not argue with the Rebbe? Or should he say, Rebbe, you're wrong? Says him Shazim, he's quiet and doesn't say anything. Areza over, he has also transgressed. Oh. Most sugur, he shouldn't be afraid of anybody. Oh. And here, in other words, right, he's afraid of entering the discussion. Sugur can also mean to enter. Okay, can enter, and you have to be able to enter such cases, right? Fact of the matter, since they're rich and poor, they can both be poor, both be rich. Right? It doesn't really matter, rich and poor. He's just showing that even if he's concerned for his honor's Rebbe and for the honor of the rich man, still no, he shouldn't be silent. Also, the problem is, Val Zanemar, on such a situation, it says, Midvar Sheker Tirchuk, stay far away from lying because you're causing a false judgment.
Wow.
Umidayan, Ladayan, Shlo Yoshiv, Tamagrof, I don't know, a judge shouldn't have sitting in front of him a very a student who's a boor, who's very uneducated, ignorant, and discuss things and let him be involved in the discussion. Also, Talmud Lomar, Devarik Shekhar Tirchuk, stay away from mistaken judgments, because if you're going to deal with the student who's, you know, not so very logical, he could make the Rebbe stray off and not understand it properly.
I don't understand the timeline with the Rebbe. The Rebbe ruled already and this is being appealed? Like, what's happening?
Which case are you on?
The first one. Like the
case is being done. Rebbe is going to announce judgment. He's announcing judgment.
The student isn't a judge. He's just
watching there.
He's watching. Okay.
And he sees the Rebbe made a mistake. He should say, Rebbe, excuse me, can I just raise a point? Do you recall this Gemara over there, such and such, such and such? Oh, you're right. Thank you very much. I can remember, you always retract false judgments. But if the student's quiet and doesn't say anything, we remain with the false judgment.
We're having a challenge.
Gimel! And how do we know when a student sees that the Rebbe makes a mistake in the judgment? He shouldn't say, I'll wait till the Rebbe, he sees before the final judgment is made, he can see the Rebbe's going to go that way, the wrong way. I'm going to wait until the Rebbe makes a judgment, and then I'm going to build myself off of his mistake. You understand? Now look, I'm the one who overturned it. Talmud Lomar, Dvar Sheker Tirchuk, stay away from lying. You should say, rather say in an honorable way, Rebbe, I think I learned this. Did you not teach this? And that's the only way you do it.
Before the judgment, if you can.
Valid. Now here's a very important halacha. Mitzvah, Lomar Labaladin Betchila, before you start the court case with two litigants, it's a mitzvah to say the following suggestion. Bidinatem rotzim o bibshara. Do you want this case to be handled according to the letter of the law? What did we call it yesterday? Arbitration?
Arbitration.
Right?
Mediation.
Or do you want pshara? Or do you want to take a compromise?
Mediation.
A mediation. What do you want? Okay. Now the word pshara comes from the word poshrim, which means lukewarm water. See, that's where the word pshara comes from, because lukewarm isn't hot, isn't cold. Right? That's good, right? Now, obviously, the difference in judgment is one guy wins, one guy loses. While pshara, the guy who wins doesn't win everything, the guy who loses doesn't lose everything. Now, it doesn't have to be 50-50, it could be 80-20. You know, it's, are you willing to give on this issue? Now, obviously, he has to see how they respond. Im ratzu b'pshara, if they both agreed to go with pshara, compromise, then also the name Pshara. You try to work out a Pshara. Bechol bezin shosim Pshara tamid, a bezin that always does Pshara, hareze mishubach. It's a very praiseworthy court.
Wow.
All of Nemar, that it says, mishpat shalom shiftu Psharechem. Very interesting. A judgment of peace, you shall judge in your gates. Now that's a contradiction. Mishpat, judgment, usually means winner, loser. Shalom, peace, usually doesn't happen with that. So how do you have that? Eza, mishpat, sheshmal, when do you have a judgment? When there's peace following, it usually doesn't work that way. When there's judgment that there's peace. Haviyom, I'd say, zebitzua, that is something goes in between, a compromise. Similarly, by David it says, David also did mishpat, judgment, utstak, and righteousness, his people. What kind of judgment can be righteousness? Haviyomer, same thing. This is, you know, meeting them in the middle, and that's pshar, and that is compromise. It's kind of like, you know, it's cutting between the one litigant and the other litigant. Now, hold on though. But Med, remember, whether we saw all this, you try to make a pshara, koidim gmardim, before we finalize the judgment. Let's say the judge, he's hearing what's going on. And they haven't decided, you know, if they want a compromise. They want a compromise. Whatever. And the judge sees, really, it seems to be going like, this guy should be the winner. Okay. But you haven't made any decision yet. So still, you still say, sure you guys don't want to compromise? Even if you know this guy's going to win, you still say, now they don't know what you know. He says, sure, in other words, even if you really think as judgment would be, you would say this guy wins, winner take all. You still try to push for this compromise. But once he finalizes the judgment and says, Ishploni ato zakai, Ishploni ato chayv, so and so you are meritorious, so and so you're guilty, and Rashoy lasas pshar b'dem, they're not allowed to make a compromise anyway. Why? Because what do you think people are going to think if the judge is willing to make a compromise? They're going to think
he's on the take.
No, or they think he may have made a mistake.
Yeah.
Right? And afraid someone will overturn our judgment. Ella Yikov Hadin Esahor. The judgment pierces the mountain. In other words, you stay with the judgment and you're done.
I take it once two sides agree to this compromise,
then you're working on compromise.
They can't. One of them can't say, well, actually, I don't like the way that turned out. Let's go for
Well, no, it's too late. Once you've agreed, agreed to compromise, yes, okay, now I'm working towards compromise.
We're on a compromise track now.
Yeah.
Okay, hey! Even though the people were willing to go with compromise in a bezdin, but yesh lohem, they are permitted. We'll see why. Lachs or Lipos, they can both change and say they want judgment. Ad sheiknu miad shneim. When you make a kinyan with the two of them, you're both agreeable to do that. I believe that's what he's saying, right?
Except because they just verbally say it.
Judges have the authority to demand the judgment until they confirm their commitments.
So if they verbally agree, but then afterwards they say, no, forget it, we don't want to.
So as long as if they made a kinyan, then you can't back out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
If they made a kinyan, we want to go it that way, then you can't back out of it. But if they both deciding, no, this isn't working. We both don't like compromise. That's be both not wanting compromise. Then they can back out of it.
That's before the compromise verdict is
once reached. The verdict's done, you know, game's over. Vav, yafa koch pshar.
He says it a little differently. The judge have the authority to demand a judgment until the litigants confirm. So they have to, the judge has the
first ability. They wanted compromise.
Even if they say Peshia.
So he can go back
and say no, we're going to judge
unless they made a kinyan that they're locked into it.
Yeah.
But they can change it. But if they lock themselves in, they can't change.
Okay.
If they didn't lock themselves in, then they can change.
Okay.
Yafa koch pshar mikoch adin. The power of compromise is better than the power of judgment. Why? In many ways. If you have two lower level judges who are judging, they can't make a judgment. Two don't make a judgment. Remember, you said you have to three. But if they do make a judgment, litigants can go and change the verdict and
accept it.
Go somewhere else. But if he must have pshara, but if they make up pshara even with two, or even with one, the kinyan, they made a kinyan, then ain't yichalim lasser, you can't back off of it, because a kabbalah's kinyan, that makes them obliged to that. Okay, Zion. Usher, okay, now we're finished with compromise. Now we're going to talk about, as we would call, professional confidentiality. Zion. Also, let me know the Yom Yishatzim based in Lomar. One of the judges is forbidden once the case was decided, and they said guilty, innocent, what they said. None of the judges are allowed to speak to the press.
Wow.
And to say, Ani Mazaka or Machayev, Vachaveri Chogmai. I was the one, let's say the minority opinion, who said guilty, and I said, but what can I do? My friends overturned my ruling. He says, Mamish, not like the Supreme Court. Supreme Court of Canada or United States, every justice says what his opinion is.
And also, jurors in the States talk to the media. It's forbidden in Canada. The jurors.
Yeah.
The jurors can't say in Canada, I agreed with the defendant or whatever. In the States, they can.
Really?
Yeah, they go to the press, they go on.
So what happens to you? It's a
criminal offense. In Canada, it's criminal.
Yeah, they go to jail.
Yeah, you can never talk about it, not ever.
In Canada.
In Canada.
Can't write a book, eh?
No.
In the States, they can.
In the States,
what if he goes to the States? Can he write a book?
No.
Can they put him in jail in Canada? If he's moves to the States?
Comes back, yeah.
No, but he's saying it in Canada.
Anyway.
Okay, sorry. That's a Paul question.
I love getting blamed for things I don't even do.
But you would have asked such a question.
I might have, yes.
Come on, Paul, admit it.
Okay, so anyway, he can't say, I was the minor opinion of Oman, so what can I do? Shame Rabbi Levi, they were more than me. No! The Mamar Canaan, if he does do that, Harehu Michlal Helech Rachel Megalusoy, he's called, as it says in Proverbs, a talebearer who reveals secrets.
Oh,
bad person. Umayse B'Talmach is a story with one scholar. Shehotzi Dvarim Shem Rubei Sam Edris Lacher Shtayim Vesen Shana. He let out a secret after 22 years. It's 22 years after the verdict was rendered, and he gave out information. And the Bezdin threw him out of the yeshiva. They announced, Zeh Megalus Soto! He's a fellow who reveals secrets! And speaking Lashon Hara. In other words, so including this is also,
he wasn't really a student.
Also,
he was a student when he did it.
You also can't tell litigants that the judge, you know, did for you not properly, that he made you guilty. You also can't do it. You can't be like a side analyzer and say, the judges were wrong, they shouldn't have done this, you were mistreated. It's
the reason that the release judgments here for both sides is that becomes part of the body of law that can be used.
You can read the judgment, you can't say who said what.
But even the minority will become so future people can take part of the arguments. So that's why they do it.
They wouldn't have to name which justice.
I'm just saying, but it's part of the positive reason they do it is because.
But I'm saying if they did it without names.
Oh, maybe.
Well, yeah. I don't know. But
they don't. They do.
But in Jewish courts, we wouldn't do that. Ches. Now, Shol, Echavi Beladinim Lichta Lopsakdin. What if one litigant says, I'm not happy with what happened there, but I don't have a choice, I have to agree. But I'd like you to write down on paper exactly what was going on over here. Oh, yeah, I want you to write it down, because I know I'm taking a trip to Yerushalayim in a few weeks. I'm going with Pesach time, I'm going to be Oyler Regal. I'm going to talk to Rev Yashiv and all these other people. They're on the Bez Nagodl over there, and I'm going to see if you guys really did the right case. Right, there's no egos over here. So I said, fine, we'll write what it was written, you know, if it gets overturned, it's no problem with our egos. So what do they write him? They write the following. Ba ploni lebesin shel ploni, so-and-so came to so-and-so court, in ploni baldino, with another person who was the litigant against him. Shetanu bekach, each one had their different complaints, what they had to say. V'yatza zagachayim, this guy either came out innocent or he came out guilty. Right? And I don't have to give all their reasons and all their proofs. They just say, this was what he claimed, this is what he claimed, this is the information we had. They don't have to say, and we said the final law because of a Gemara and Sanhedrin and this and that, and we ruled as such. V'nelson law. And they give it to him. Now the Bezdin itself, when they write it, they say who the Bezdin was, this rabbi, this rabbi, this rabbi, he presented the story, and our verdict was such. But they don't say which rabbi said innocent, which rabbi said guilty. That's part
it's
of the question. But rather, this court, you know, made this verdict. Now they say it midivrayim. Interesting. They say bezdin ploni midivrayim. This style is from to understand that it wasn't,
unanimous
decision. But we won't say who's the judge who wasn't unanimous, because that'll be tail-bearing, right? So you couldn't say this guy came out innocent, because that's not exactly true either. What says the English translator Rabbi Ram? From the statements of the court of such and such, so and so was vindicated.
Yeah. Okay.
From their words, we made this decision. That kind of says it was a split decision. Because you can't say it was just, innocent. You just say straight out innocent, then it's a complete unanimous decision. Okay, Pez.
Did we say that they don't give any of the facts of the case or reasons?
They do. They say what everybody's complaints, whatever everyone's side of the story was.
They provide the reasons for the...
They just say, this is the facts that we were told. Litigant A said this and this and this and this, and upon further questioning, he clarified and said it was this and this.
But they don't say we refer to this halakha.
No. We just say this is all the... They present all the information they were given. After the questions, answers, clarifications, this is his side of the story. This is his side, sir. We may have asked some questions. We further clarified. He amended to say this. He amended to this, that. But this is all the corpus of information we have. And we said such and such ruling.
And that would be sufficient to take it to...
Because the other court, now...
They have the facts.
We have to remember, this guy is not going with the other litigant. Who's going to go to the Bez Yerushalayim? The loser.
The loser, yeah.
So when a guy comes to Bez, he can say, do you have the shtar written by the court? Here it is. Now they're going to want to see it. It's an authentic shtar. And they're going to, and it's something that can be, verified. You know, a guy could, what do you call it?
Forge
all this. So it's got to be verified. So therefore, he has to write, this is the story, exactly the way it was. And he'll say, well, rabbis, what would you say on this case? And I'll say, well.
Enough information to rule again.
Exactly, because, right. Test. This was the custom of the people who lived in Yerushalayim. Okay, we bring in the litigants, we hear what they have to say and all their arguments. A. B. If there are, then we bring witnesses, if there are witnesses. Then they hear what they have to say, and then we say, okay, everybody leave the court, the judges want to talk it over, and we don't want you to hear what we're saying. Okay, that comes up next. But the yonim knows even knows them. The judges give and take. But the other regardless of then they come to the decision amongst themselves. Now, the Akra then machnisei baladim. They bring in the litigants, and now the gadol shebanim, the head of the court. So nobody thinks it was anybody else. As the head always speaks. We don't know he's taking any sides, whatever. That's just the rule. He always speaks. He says the conclusion of this court is. Yishploni ato zakai, yishploni ato chai. You are guilty, you are innocent. Kidei shol yeda echem eladin and eizadayin hum ishaziko, so someone can figure out which judge said what. You always have the head of the court, the supreme justice, whatever. He says, I'm always, every time. So no, he's the one who always says it. Somebody could figure out who did it. Yud, and we will finish the parak today. Mirtz Hashem. Let's say a judge, sees in his fellow judge is a criminal. He's a robber, he's a wicked man. Well, utterly servo, you can't sit on the court with that guy. Stay far away from falsehood. And you being thinking this guy, he will try to confuse you by being social with this guy. And so did the clean-minded ones, the pious ones in Jerusalem also did. What? They would not sit in judgment until they knew who they were sitting with. Because they could be with bad fellows. Or, they wouldn't sign a document to know who else is signing with him. Because if the other guy signing with him is crook, then what happens to the other signatures? Everything gets thrown out, and it's wasted signature. Okay? And also, interesting, they would never attend a meal, invited out to a meal, to know who is sitting with him, because it's insulting for a Talmud Chacham to sit with an ignorant person at a meal. And because it's the tzaddik wants to speak Torah, this and that, the other guy's speaking about the Blue Jays. He's talking about this and that. So you can be particular. If you feel you're a Talmud Chacham, you're entitled to ask, what table am I sitting with?
Yeah.
Who's going to sit with me? and you're entitled to do that. Okay, it's 10:02.